From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, August 25th, 2009. Each week, this podcast examines news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, executive editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, editor-in-chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we look at three news stories that maybe are unrelated or maybe they are related. First off, a discussion of federal government technology change, a city opening up its data, and a grant-funded hyperlocal website that's being acquired. We think they're related, and we'll provide some pointers about what technologists, politicians, and citizens can expect regarding access to geodata. We'll explore these stories and tease out their implications after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Improve the performance of your web maps and make your authoritative data more broadly available with ArcGIS 931. For more information, visit www.esri.com/what's new.
Now, let me add some details to those teasers of the stories that I introduced at the outset. The first story is about federal technology change, and it's not about Vivek Kundra, our CIO for the United States, or even Anish Chopra, our CTO for the United States. It's about Tim O'Reilly, the head of the publishing firm that bears his name. The story that I found wasn't even by Tim O'Reilly. It was by Marshall Kirkpatrick, who's one of the leads at Mashable. And Kirkpatrick writes, and I quote, "O'Reilly is trying to help government become a platform for innovation. A government as platform would supply raw digital data and other forms of support for private sector innovators to build on top of," unquote. So that sounds a lot like data.gov, a website we've talked about in the past. But the part of this story that really got me excited was the fact that as Tim O'Reilly goes about his business and trying to change government in Washington, he's talking about all kinds of data. And let me quote Marshall Kirkpatrick, who is in turn quoting Tim O'Reilly. "This morning we did a call with the White House and some geohackers talking about what's wrong with government geodata now and how it could be fixed. The government people said we need to translate this into real projects that will appeal to politicians. If you fix this kind of geodata, then we'll be able to provide this service. Street safety, education attainment, public policy objectives was what they wanted to hear from the hackers. It's really about social innovation, bringing better tools for us as a nation to use to focus on real problems," unquote. That just blew my mind because we've been through so much in the geospatial sector in the past 6 months, trying to get the government to get on board with some changes that we think need to be made in how geospatial data is managed at the federal level, how it's shared, everything through to the broadband initiative that includes mapping. And I just got this feeling from just reading this little snippet from Tim O'Reilly that he's going about this in a completely different manner, and maybe, just maybe, we need to sort of leave a lot of our baggage aside and look at it in a new way, this idea of government as platform. Now, how did you respond to this?
Well, the one quote that I thought was fairly remarkable down towards the end of the article, we'll leave as in our show notes, was he wants to make work for the government sexy. And he's really changed the conversation entirely about government problems, how to solve government problems, and who's going to do it. It's not the people who are within government necessarily today who are going to be the progenitors of the ideas that will change government. He's already brought a number of people into the table. Obama himself has brought a number of people into the discussion, Vivek Kundra being one of them, who a few years ago as CTO of Washington, D.C., kind of started it himself by bringing in a number of people through a contest to be innovators, to get things done in a relatively short period of time, to stand up applications very quickly, much more so than putting out an RFP and going through the hassles of acquiring technology and then getting a group of people. I mean, this whole discussion that I think Tim is trying to bring into into light is really changing how we solve problems for the government. And he's hit on three big ones, healthcare being one of them. And so changing this whole discussion about how you solve problems, I think, is what Tim is bringing to the table.
Right, and this whole idea about bringing some geohackers to go talk to the people in Washington, those aren't the people I think about going to Washington, and maybe they should be.
Well, absolutely. Again, these are the people from the outside who look at problems and solving problems in a completely different way. And I think one of the things that you had brought up as we were preparing for this conversation was very telling, which is there's kind of this generational gap. And you can just see it, right? The old gray-haired guys who were the congressmen and going up against the geohackers. What an interesting discussion that would be between these people who probably never heard these ideas before, never knew how to solve these types of problems. And I think this is where we got to start. We've got some huge problems in the country. And I think Tim is trying to remake the way government thinks in this Government 2.0 conference that he's going to host here in a couple weeks. Is one of those things that is trying to bring together different pieces of the puzzle and people perhaps who've never spoken to each other.
And part of that generation gap, and I use that term a little bit uncomfortably because, I mean, I've certainly got gray hair, but I think maybe part of it too is this idea that these geohackers, either the ones who sort of invented that and their followers they're digital natives. Their expectations of how things work and how technology works is so different from the folks sitting in those Senate offices and even the people who are their consultants. We really need to have those people butt heads in the best possible ways to, as we keep going back to, get things done. The great things about these geohackers is, and hackers of all stripes, they'll figure a way to get it done. It might not be pretty, and it might involve some, you know, questionable maybe ways of getting there, but they can get stuff done, and that's huge in these times. Let's move on to the second story, and this has to do with the mayor of San Francisco, Gavin Newsom, who launched last week a new data portal called datasf.org, which is described as an initiative designed to increase access to city data. And I'm quoting from his article launching the new portal. Quote, the new website will provide a clearinghouse of structured, raw, and machine-readable data to the public in an easily downloaded format. For example, there will be updated crime incident data from the police department and restaurant inspection data from the Department of Public Health. The initial phase of the website includes more than 100 data sets from a range of city departments, including police, public works, and the Municipal Transportation Agency. Unquote. And again, this sounds like data.gov, but for San Francisco. And of course, one of the reasons that this is being announced now is that Newsom is on that short list of people who will run for governor. There's some interesting reaction to this site. A lot of people, myself included, said, hey, this is great. Let's use this as sort of a peer pressure to get other cities to do the same kind of thing. We had some comments on AllPoints blog where I noted this story saying, well, this is nothing new. We already do this. And I think the difference is having the data out there across all those agencies versus this idea of it being a portal that allows you to find it more easily. Now, that said, I went and looked at this new portal, and it's not so great. If you want to get some geo data, you know, you click on a listing at the portal, and it takes you to the generic GIS, you know, data site, and it's not that easy to get. And, oh, by the way, you need some special software to read it in this format. And so it's not quite as elegant as it might be, but it's a step forward for sure.
And what has happened, and again, it may not be new, but what has happened over the last couple years is that this represents one of those sources of data that we didn't have before. If we wanted information like this, it was very, very difficult. You had to go to the individual city department, beg and plead, for some data, whether it was in machine-readable format or not, you could never tell. It could have been a paper map for all that matters. What we've seen here in this movement of by governments, local governments in particular, is they realize the benefit of opening up their data archives to the citizenry. And going back to what O'Reilly's discussion is about making government over, doing a government 2.0 thing is just letting data be of a more open nature to everyone, geospatial data only being one of the many in the discussion. And so where this doesn't necessarily look new, I think this is just a movement that's kind of spreading more and more, is that the accessibility of data from local entities, I think, is just going to start exploding. We don't have to beg and plead anymore for the data, I think, is the bottom line.
The begging and pleading has sort of changed its nature. And again, I think this comes back to these digital natives, the expectations of the people using the data, the people who are using this data as a platform to build apps and show off data and show issues. They're the first ones to raise their hands and say, hey, this isn't working. The thing that impressed me most about this portal wasn't so much, you know, the data or the access to the data, but the comments. There was a pointer to some data about restaurant, public health issues related to restaurants, and it was not, in fact, a pointer to a data set of that. It was a pointer to somebody else, and somebody had already left a comment saying, hey, you're not pointing to the stuff you said you were. Fix it. You know, so it's already sort of built into this new way of communication and this new set of expectations. Now, interestingly, Boston's mayor is up for re-election, and he just launched a new portal to be more transparent this morning as we record. I think we're going to see more and more of these sort of popping up, and I think it's all for the best. And the most important thing that the citizenry can do is take a look at these and immediately give feedback and set those expectations high. That is something that I think was not done with some of the early efforts at this, especially for geospatial, things like Geospatial One Stop, which didn't get on this sort of quick turnover, quick update Web 2.0 sort of vision where something's in beta but always being improved. That's the kind of response we need to all of the launches of these kinds of portals.
Let's go to the point of government as a platform, just just to flesh that out a little bit more. I think taking away the notion of what we think of as a platform, of a technology platform, I think, again, O'Reilly's vision here is government should facilitate innovation. I think that's what his nature of a government as a platform should be, which is now governments are not only opening up data archives, we don't have to go to the window at the local county office anymore to beg and plead for that paper map. Government is now facilitating the innovation among its citizens to get things done, as we've said, get things done in a quicker manner. So as a platform here, we should expect more services in a much more open nature. And I think that geospatial kind of is that easy first step, because everybody likes to see things on the map. Data now is being collected in such a rapid fashion, and now people in the government have the tools to spit out data in some common geographic format that more people can use. And if anything, this is what's happened to geospatial in general, is that we've got access to the tools now, whether that's your desktop mapping system or whether it's Google Earth. This element of a platform is now being facilitated by government. What a great thing.
And that actually leads us very nicely into our third story, which actually has to do with taking advantage of a lot of that data that's out there. And one of the early innovators in that space was Adrian Halavati, who received a Knight Foundation grant to start a site called EveryBlock, which is sort of a local data news site. And the grant actually ran out at the end of June of this year, and there were sort of questions about what would happen to the site without that funding. And the answer came this week when the site was acquired by MSNBC.com, the online news portal of MSNBC, the cable network. I'm not sure how many people took advantage of EveryBlock, since it only collected news and data for a dozen sites. But it's described as a site that filters an assortment of local news by location, so you can keep track of what's happening on your block, in your neighborhood, and all over the city. the innovation here was to really dig down deep and work with these cities and try to get the data out in some standard form and then to filter it through and put it on a map. And all of the code that they built to do this is open source, and you can go and download it and play with it. And that was one of the parts of the grant. So the fact that, first of all, they were able to make this happen in a very short time with that grant, to expand it to a dozen cities, and now to have it be acquired by a news site, I think speaks volumes to this idea of platforms and data and changing not only the business of government, but the business of news.
What a fantastic resource for people if they use it. I guess I had a question, because I don't live in a major metropolitan area, and you do. Did you use every block? Did you find it useful, or did you have a case to use it?
No.
So that kind of brings up the issue of the utility of hyperlocal news, because again, just roaming around every block, I mean, it's great. It's great information. I don't know if I would find it useful in everyday use, but...
That's, again, a challenge, and this whole idea of how people use hyperlocal news, or if they need it on a day-to-day basis, and how it's delivered and how it's monetized, there's still an awful lot of research being done in that. I mean, there's this general sense that just because you can get local news, you're going to want it, and you're going to want it fast, and you're going to want it furious, and you're going to want to know about every car accident that happens within a two-mile radius of your house. I don't think that's true. I think one of the really interesting things that we're going to be able to see here is, what does an MSNBC.com do with a set of portals like this? What does this turn into? Is this a platform that then gets provided to other papers or other news outlets in those geographies? Does it break off and make hyperlocal sites? I mean, many newspapers have tried to do that. Many of those have not been successful.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be used as context for other news. If a major news story breaks in a city, would it be used for background information? You know, what else happened at this time around this area where this major news story broke?
The details of how much was paid for it were not shared, but just the idea that MSNBC.com wanted to make this investment, I think, speaks to the value of not just the data being out there and available, but it being aggregated in a meaningful way. And as Brady Forrest from O'Reilly actually points out about this acquisition, this wasn't a news kind of acquisition. This was a data acquisition. I mean, this was a portal to data. And again, it ties back to the portal from San Francisco, and also this idea of a platform. Now, every block never had an API, and that was something that people talked about quite a bit, and it's not clear whether it may develop one from here forward, but it's very interesting to look at this sort of this business deal in the context of these other two very government kinds of stories, and they all seem to be about the same kind of thing, this idea of redefining the information of government and publishing it out there, in a sense, in very raw form as a tool for innovation. That's all the time we have today. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like to invite you to attend the Getting Started with the ArcGIS API for Microsoft Silverlight WPF live training seminar on Thursday, August 27th. This seminar will teach you how to develop fast, rich, and interactive web mapping applications on top of ArcGIS Server and ArcGIS Online services. You can learn more about this free seminar at www.esri.com/training. If you'd like to contact us about today's podcast or any other topic, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment at All Points Blog or Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.